for you just to turn quickly with me to Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke, the fourth chapter. We'll be looking at verses 18 and 19. Interestingly enough, have you seen a pattern? I mentioned this last week, how good God is to help us with our memory. Because, of course, Acts 20:20, you remember this is the verse we've been talking about every week, just as a reminder. I've not really preached from that passage, but that Acts 20:20, that's kind of the master plan, I believe, that God has for us. That it's publicly and from house to house. It's how God wants to accomplish His mission in this world. It happens publicly and from house to house. There's this discipleship from being born again until we're reproducing Christians. It happens publicly and privately. We could say it that way, publicly and privately. But this is what I like about these chapters and verses were not originally in chapters and verses. These letters we have in the Bible, they were just written one word after another, not like we're used to reading. And so the translators and those people that put the Bible together for us to read, they separated the thoughts into chapters and verses. And so, but I love it because, you remember, Galatians 4:19 is really the heartbeat of everything, where Paul said, I travail in birth pains until Christ be formed in you. So we had Galatians 4:19. But then we go to Matthew 4:19. We have where Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And now we're at Luke 4:18-19. So we're on 4, Luke 4:18-19. It just really helps in our memories regarding where things are. And I just think that God gets involved. He got involved even with the translators. Would you say amen to that? I believe He got involved with it. Because it's amazing how things have pulled together through the years and through the translation into our language. We talked these number of weeks about this disciple shift. It's discipleship, but it's shifting our minds toward what the Bible says and not just what we have gotten used to thinking discipleship was, or maybe have just been lulled to sleep in a little bit regarding what discipleship means. You know, sometimes discipleship has meant just, well, I go to church. Discipleship is, I go to Sunday school. What we do rather than what we're becoming. You see, discipleship is what we become, what we are made into, and what we are made to produce. And that is the beauty of this. And so we need a disciple shift in our heart and mind in order for us to really get where God wants us to be. How many can say God's still working on me? You there? Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's still working on me, I guarantee you. I'm tempted to sing the song, I'm not going to do it. I am tempted. I'm under great temptation. The more I talk about it, I'm going to have to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. But when we go to, we're going to get to Luke passage, but when we go to Matthew 4:19 again, because this is really where we've been building sermons from and our messages from in this series, Jesus said to Andrew and Peter, Simon Peter, He said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So a disciple, so here's our definition again. A disciple is one who follows Christ. Would you say that with me? A disciple is one who follows Christ. Secondly, He made us, He's making something out of us. So a disciple is being changed by Jesus Christ. Say that with me. A disciple is being changed by Jesus Christ. And then the third part of that, because what is He making us? He's making us into fishers of men. And so being a fisher of men is you're then are seeking to help people to follow Jesus and be made and transformed themselves. And so we want to reproduce. We want to be fishers of men. And so really, disciples of Jesus Christ, disciples are committed to Jesus Christ. They're committed, but they're committed to a mission. So I want to just to say this, a disciple is committed to Jesus Christ's mission. To Christ, or we'll just say, committed to Christ's mission. So, all right, say that with me. Disciples are committed to Christ's mission. And so there's where we find ourselves today. And this message I've entitled is Committed. Committed. Last week was changed. The week before that was follow. But today it is committed. Committed. And that brings us to our text, Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So the question we have today is, what is Christ's mission? What is the mission of Christ? What is it? And I believe that we see it. We see it even in the passage of Scripture here. We see it in the Matthew 4, 19 verse that we're so familiar with now. We see it here because Jesus, quoting from the book of Isaiah in the synagogue, saying it with these words, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he was quoting a scripture that was prophesying of the Christ, the Messiah who was to come. Now Jesus is there speaking it in the present, and it's a present reality in His day. And He's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty, or to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." What I want us to see here is that He came to this world for a purpose, and that purpose had to do with absolutely changing this world and changing people for a reason. Not just for no reason. He didn't just descend out of glory and condescend to a baby within the womb of Mary. He didn't just do that for no reason. But what we find is he came to do that because man was in great need, and a need that man could not meet on his own. Now, another we'll discover. So there's several things that are mentioned here related to His purpose in this text. But on the screen I've got for you 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. And what an incredible scripture this is. He who sins is of the devil. Look to your neighbor and say, uh-oh. That's what it said. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. But I love this right here. Now, you need to mark this one in your Bible. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did we hear this? This is awesome. For this purpose. So if anybody said, why did Jesus have to come? Here it is. For this purpose, because of sin, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, this is, so we didn't make this up today. It's 1 John 3:8. Let me just say, regarding sins, he who sins is of the devil. Well, what it's telling us, that sin is of the devil, and that's why Jesus said, you're in the world. After coming to Christ, you're in the world, but don't be of the world. Also, what John is telling us and teaching us here is that a person that is in Christ, it should not practice sin. He said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So he was saying there is a possibility of sin and sinning, but you're not to practice it. It's not to be something that you just go on doing. But when you do sin, you know that it's not right and you turn from it. You call upon God, who is your advocate, and you run from sin because that is not what you want to be a part of. So what you do is you don't continue in it. And so when you recognize you do wrong, you shift and change directions. You make adjustments. You say, I can't go that way anymore. But what I wanted us to see here today is the purpose of God. The purpose of God is to redeem fallen man from sin and from what sin does that brings and wreaks havoc in people's lives and brings destruction. And the enemy is feeding every fire that he can of every sin that is ever committed. He sinned from the beginning, and he tries to get everybody else to sin and go right along with what he does. He tries his best. And see, we were born in sin, so we have a natural inclination to go in that direction. But Jesus came. Do you see it? The purpose to destroy the works of the devil. And if that's what he came for in the cross, guess what? He came to do that in my life too. Would you say amen to that? Amen. That's what he's come. That's what he came to do. That's just the purpose. The purpose of it all. So we see, what is this mission that Christ is on? And then I want us to look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. It'll be there on the screen, a very familiar verse of Scripture. It says, for the Son of God has come. It says here, the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of God has come to seek and save that which was lost. So we're understanding his mission, why he's here. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Coming, going back to our text in Luke 4:18-19, he came to heal the brokenhearted. He come preaching the gospel, the good news of salvation. He come in repentance. He preached the good news to the poor. He come to set at liberty the captive, to heal the brokenhearted, to those that were oppressed. He came to set us free from any oppression. Do you see the beauty in that? How much He loves us. We've been singing about the love of God today. And this is, He loved us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was manifested in this world to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Jesus came to save the lost. And so He came to seek and save that which was lost. So we say, well, so what is the mission? I think we grab hold of what the mission is, but how did He do it? Now, we understand the cross, and I'm not going to get all into the cross and what He did on the cross, but this is ultimately, this is what it was. He came to do. He came to die for man's sins. He came to give His life as a substitution, as a propitiation, the Bible says. He took upon Himself the wrath of our sin and judgment upon Himself. But how did he fulfill the carrying out this work of this mission? And so I want us just to think just a moment concerning this passage of 19 of Luke, verse 10. The first 9 verses of that particular chapter is about Zacchaeus. So when we read verse 10 and it says, He came to seek and save that which was lost, that is the last verse in the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Come on now. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed his way, come on, Angie, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. I love that. But the beauty of all of that was there was a sinner man who wanted, this was not a saved man in the tree. This was not a found man in the tree. This was a man who had heard about this man Jesus. He heard that he was going to pass this way. And so he climbed, being short in stature, the Scripture says, he climbed up in the tree so he could get a view of this man named Jesus. Evidently, the crowd was great. You know what I'm saying? Because have you ever been somewhere, and I mean, there's room along a fence line? Evidently, there was no room. I mean, he couldn't go to the end. There were so many people. It must have been so long, the lines of people and the crowds of people, that he couldn't just go somewhere nobody was standing. There had to be so many people. And him being short in stature, he said, well, the only thing left for me to do is climb the tree and I can get my eyes on it. I don't know what Zacchaeus expected, but there was a deep need within him, that there was something within Zacchaeus that was crying out. He didn't know. He didn't know the man. He didn't know what was going to happen. All he knew was, where I am and what's going on in my life is not good. This is not satisfying. This is not enough. It's not enough just to go to work every day. It's not enough just to have income. It's not enough to just have all the... He had a house. We know from the story. This man had a house. This man likely had servants. This man had it going on in the world standards. But something was missing desperately. And this little man said, I got to get somewhere where I can see this man everybody's been talking about. And what I want us to see in these few minutes we have left today is how that Jesus seeks out the lost. He sought him. There he is in the... There's crowd, there's people everywhere, but There was one little man in the tree, and the Savior picked his eyes up from the crowds and spotted a man. Aren't you glad Jesus spotted you? Aren't you glad He looked to where you were? Aren't you glad He sought you out? See, ultimately, that's what's happened to every one of us. We may have a different story about how we came to Christ, but the truth is, He sought us out. He came looking for us because we couldn't save ourselves. He came looking for us. Now, there was this drawing. There was something going on deep within us that we may not have understood. The Holy Spirit was at work when we didn't even know nothing was happening in our life. We didn't feel anything, but somehow Jesus saw us. He sought us out. Now, something else He does when we think about how He carried out His mission, He invites and He includes. He invites and He includes. We note what He did. He sought Zacchaeus out. He invited him. He invited him to what? He invited him into a dialogue. He invited him into a discussion. He invited him into conversation. He invited him into His presence, into His proximity, into an area close to Him. He invited him. Now we understand, Zacchaeus said, come home with me. I'm not getting into all of that. What I want us to see is what Jesus is doing. And Jesus invited him down into an audience with him, and Jesus included him. He was up in the tree. He was far away. He was not on the front lines of those that were standing in the processional. He invited him. He included him. That's what our job is to do in our commission for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to invite and include. Would you say that with me? Invite and include. We're to seek and save that which is lost, but invite and include. We will include where? Include in our circle. That's what Jesus did. Now, I want to talk just a moment about the circle. Irwin McManus pastors Mosaic Church in Los Angeles. A few weeks ago in a podcast, and there's some podcasts, some preachers that I'll listen to various times, he was talking about expanding our capacity. And he was talking about expanding our capacity in ministry. He was talking to people in their jobs, expand their capacity. One area he was talking about, He's also an author, Irwin is. And he said, everybody always wants to know, well, how do you get published? He said, but nobody ever asked me, how do you write better? And what his point was, the question is not how do you get published if you're interested in being an author. The question is, how do you write better? But I would say the same is true, and he was pointing out in his message that I could not let go, and I immediately began to take I wanted to remember these thoughts that he had, and it's the thoughts I had as I heard him, that when we're talking about this message, this ministry of the gospel, and these are things I'm borrowing from his words and just bringing them into my own the message today and mixing them with the thoughts that I've had. That, you see, just like Jesus invited Zacchaeus into his circle, so he could communicate with him, you and I, before we're going to have a great ministry, we've got to expand our compassion to include more people in our circle. You see, you can't accomplish more for God by closing in and having a small circle. You've got to expand the circle of your influence. You got to expand the circle of your influence, because guess what? You're saying, God, I want you to bring a great revival, Lord Jesus, and then here comes somebody that you don't want in your circle. Not them, Lord. Not. How about them? You understand what I'm getting at? It's not, if we want to do great things for God, we have to expand our circle and to invite and include, just like Jesus expanded His to invite a lost man in the tree. And when our compassion is expanded, and we're saying, God, I'm willing to love people like that, and like that, and like that, and like that, I'm willing, then He'll say, all right, then your capacity can handle what I've got for you. See, this thing called the church, this ministry called the ministry of reconciliation in the body of Christ, reconciling man to God and people to people, it requires us expanding our compassion. Our circle's got to get big enough to include people. There's some people that don't hardly have enough compassion to include their wife in their circle. You ever met people like that? They barely have enough to have a spouse. Some people don't because of that. They just close tight. And I want to tell you, but that's a miserable way to live. There's people that just want, well, I just want certain people in my circle. I'm so glad God doesn't work like that. I want you to look at this ragtag bunch of us. Look at us. And God looked and said, I want them in my circle. The only reason there's anybody in here, you say, I'm saved today, because Jesus said, I want them. He's not willing that any should perish or come to destruction. I want them in my circle. Okay, so you got to seek, save that which was lost, Jesus did. He invited and included. The other one, he just did it. What did he do? He went fishing. He actually fished. I've touched on all this in this series. But in the church world, we have become so good at talking about the tackle in our fishing box, our tackle box. We're good at talking about the different lures and bait. We're good at talking about the equipment, the rods and reels. We're good at even knowing what to say, perhaps. Everybody's different. In fact, we come every week in and out, and we learn more and more about how to do it. But never get the boat out of the garage. So what have I got to shift? What have I got to shift in order to fulfill this commission to being more committed to this mission? What have I got to change? I've got to shift. I got to shift my mindset. Shift my mindset. I am a missionary. That's the mindset I've got to have. I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary right here. Scotty Poole shared with you, he said, wherever your soles of your feet are, that's the field right there. So I've got to change my mindset that he wants to use me. You mean he wants me to look for people like Zacchaeus? Yes. He wants us to look for people like Zacchaeus. He wants us to seek out the hurting. You say, what am I going to do? I don't know. I get myself in some bad situations. But you know what? The Lord, he has a way of helping navigate those things. But I want to tell you something. I would rather have compassion than to have an old fountain that's all stove up and it's plugged and the waters are begin to just be so stale. And I'd rather there be a compassion that would flow out of me. I'd rather get in a situation where I don't know what to do, where I can say, God, this situation is far worse than I have the capacity, it seems, to help them. Well, all of a sudden, when I come into that situation, the Lord said, well, you don't have the capacity, but then I've got some other folks that can join you in helping with that capacity in that area. Yeah, we can't fix every problem that people have. We can't. But I want to tell you, the only way for a person to ever come to Jesus is by the love of God. And it's the love of God that will convince somebody to follow him. Now, I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the resources to help everybody out of their problem. But I can introduce somebody and invite them and include them and help them to get him, to know him better and grow. And then before you know it, their situation's changed because they've submitted to his will and then they've allowed him to work in their life. You know, we all know the story of Acts, where they saw the beggar at the gate called Beautiful, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And they told him to rise and walk. What I have found, most of the time, it's not silver and gold have I none. A lot of times, it's silver and gold have I some. And so sometimes, he wants me to give the some. And then right behind it, to pray. You see, if we tell this world Jesus loves them, but our own compassion is lacking, they're not going to see him. But if they can see Jesus through us, he said we were to be his light in this world. So we've got to treat people in a way that they will see Jesus in you and me. That's our only way to fulfill his mission in this world. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are. Here we are, and we stand in great need of you today. In the name of Jesus. I just want to honor you in this place. I want to make sure, God, that what is accomplished in this place is what you would have to accomplish. Hallelujah.